Greet all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sister Chetty just could not make it. She just wasn't feeling well towards the latter part of the day. Amen. We'll remember her in prayer. Shall we close our eyes? Gracious Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you this evening. You have made it possible for us to be here. Dear God, it is not because of human intelligence, not because of human planning that we should be here tonight. It is by your grace. That is why, dear God, we want to thank you for having preserved us until this far. And Lord, we remember Sister Chetty, who is not feeling well. May you just be gracious to her, dear God. We know that, dear God, your hand can touch her and make her whole. It is just a demon that is trying to cause a little bit of stir. But we've got a remedy for every demon that would want to throw a tantrum. And that remedy, it is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, not only remembering her, but remembering many believers. Some are not here, dear God. They need a prayer wherever they are. We are sending a prayer their way. And Lord, we realize of this natural catastrophe that has just unfolded in Zimbabwe and as well as Mozambique. Dear God, many, many people have been misplaced. Thousands have gone missing. We are only praying for the believers, dear God, that, dear God, in the midst of this chaos, may you show how gracious you are. And Lord, dear God, we realize that we are right in that season where these things have got to take place. They can bring different names to call them, but we know that these are demons that would hijack the natural elements. And dear God, and cause such a havoc. But dear God, we know that wherever you are, you know the believers are there and you'll protect them. As I commit everything to you, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. God bless you while you take your seats. Amen. Oh, I was referring to musicians for now, that musicians may go to their seats. The rest we are going to read. Amen. Apology for a long signal. 2 Chronicles 18. Second Chronicles 18, verse 1. Let's read it together. It's not going to be long. Now, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. And joined affinity with Ahab. And after 7 years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance. For the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth the Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Wilt thou go with me to Ramoth the Gilead?" And he answered him, "I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war." And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, "Inquire, I pray thee, at the mouth, at the word of the Lord today." Therefore the king of Israel gathered together of prophets 400 men. And said unto them, "Shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle? Or shall I forbear?" And they said, "Go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides?" That we might inquire of him. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one." One man by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him. God's true prophets are always hated. But I hate him, for he never prophesied good unto me. But always evil. The same is Micah, the son of Imla. And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." I think the rest of the text, we'll read it while you are sitting. You may enjoy the comfort of your seats. Amen. Now, I want to speak on unholy alliance. Unholy alliance. That's what I would want to speak on this evening. And maybe to give you a background, we know that there was a time when Israel split into two, where you had the nation called Judah, and then you had Israel. Amen. And then the nation Israel was led by Ahab, and the nation Judah was led by Jehoshaphat. Amen. This was just to give you a background of our scriptural scene this evening. Now, as we read here, We just want to profile the two kings so that you understand what we talk about. Jehoshaphat was a very faithful man. He walked in God's ways. If you want, just without you reading, in 2 Chronicles 17 from verse 3 to 6, it says the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the earlier ways of his father, and he sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments. His heart was courageous in the ways of the Lord. Amen. So Jehoshaphat was not only faithful, but he was a reformer because he led the people to be faithful again, like his father Asa. Amen. He took, that means if we say you are a reformer, he brought the people back to God. Amen. He was blessed as well. He had great wealth. Nations feared him. And then he had quite a large army. Amen. But this fella that he visited, who was King Ahab. King Ahab was on the northern kingdom of Israel. He was a very, very wicked man who opposed Yahweh. Amen. He did not walk in God's ways. If you remember one of the stories or one of the main contestation against King Ahab, it was that he married the infamous queen. Her name was Jezebel. So there was nothing righteous about Ahab. And yet there was Jehoshaphat was a very righteous man. Now you've got a righteous man and an unrighteous man coming into alliance. It has always weakened the church of the living God. When the Israelites left Egypt, they were such a powerful nation. But when they went into alliance with the Moab, God, even the Bible says, he never forgave them for that. Hello? During the time of Ezra, Israel went into alliance with unholy people. And from that time as well, the Bible made a record that God never forgave them. During the church ages, there was a church age, I think it was Pergamos, where Brother Branham says the church and the state got married. And he says that became a problem for the church. And every time when you read in the Holy Scriptures, God wants the church not to have an alliance with the world. Do you still believe that? God does not want us to have alliance with the world. What does it mean? I'm tempted to say it for what it is. We have nothing of the world that we must admire. We have nothing of the world that we must admire. Amen. We have nothing of the world that we must admire. Hallelujah. And we have nothing of denominations that we must admire. Hallelujah. We actually cannot learn anything from them because, quite frankly, we can see the kind of life that they have produced. It is an unholy life. And therefore, we've got absolutely nothing to learn from them. Now, coming back to our scene, he made his alliance, but when I went to read, I realized that the alliance did not only take place where we are reading. There were some events that took place in the background that brought them where they are. It does not mean that Jehoshaphat did not know that Ahab was not a holy man, but it is because he had already entangled himself with Ahab. That is why it was difficult for him to resist the offer of Ahab. Amen. We realize that he made an alliance with, it was a marriage alliance as well, where he gave his son to marry Ahab's daughter. Amen. Sometimes, and I would want to say it for what it is, sometimes when you get married, you don't only get married to the woman, you get married to her people. You don't get only married to a man, you get married to his people. And some of the people that are married, the reason they've got gray hairs The gray hairs do not come from the marriage. They come from extended members of the family. Because why? You saw this fella at work, you saw him at church, but you did not know what was behind him. You did not know what was behind her. And as it says, every family has a spirit. And that is why when you get married, that's why Brother Brahman said the requirement is that you must be full of the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost breaks the family spirit. Hallelujah. Are you here this evening, folks? We've got certain spirits in our families that we are not proud of. Hallelujah. Oh, I can take it further. There are members of our family that we are not proud of. It's not every family has got a black sheep. There are, as I normally say, for every family gathering, there is that uncle that would want to hide. Because for some reason, when he shows up, he causes an embarrassment. There is that aunt that you know, should the aunt lose a temper, everything is going to be haywire in this wedding. Are we together? Why? It's because every family has got a spirit that is undesirable. That is why you as an individual, you must receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost to break that family spirit. Now, this man had given his son. So already before this alliance, Ahab and that means Ahab was the father-in-law to the son of Jehoshaphat. Is that correct? Amen. I hope we are together. Now, Jehoshaphat or Ahab remembered something that actually there is a piece of ground called Ramoth Gilead. And that piece of ground, it is our land. And when he searched maybe in the history of the two nations, he realized that that piece of land collectively, it was theirs. But the problem was now, he wanted to go over and take that piece of land. Listen, scripturally, it was their land. Sometimes certain things scripturally are yours. But how you get to them, it's unscriptural. When you get something that is scripturally yours in an unscriptural way, it becomes a curse. I will repeat the statement. If you get something that you are entitled to scripturally, but we get it through unscriptural means, it is going to be a curse. There is an English saying that says, the end justifies the means. That means they say, it's especially even the Pentecostals, the moment you tell them that women are not supposed to preach, but they say, what if she wins the souls for Christ? So to this person, the means justifies the end. Or the end justifies the means. That means they look at the result and say, based on the result, it doesn't matter how I achieve the result because the results are good. And as I normally ask them, if they say, God did not call a woman to be a preacher, but what if she wins souls? Then I say, oh, that means I can steal somebody's car to go and preach the gospel. And God is going to discount the fact that I stole a car, because through a stolen car, I won a soul. Do you get where I'm going? With God, the means justifies the end. How you do it and how you arrive at the result, God watches how you got there. And if how you got there was scriptural, it doesn't matter how good the results are. God will discount the results. Glory to God. Amen. Now, this piece of land, it was their land, Ramoth Gilead. Then look what the enemy does. When they came to visit him, Jehoshaphat came to visit Ahab. What we find out, the Bible says Jehoshaphat was a very wealthy man. He had riches and honor in abundance. And then when they arrived there, Ahab killed the sheep and oxen for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead. Check who feeds you. It is difficult for you to say no to the one that feeds you. I'll repeat the statement. It is difficult to say no to the one that feeds you. Hallelujah. That is why the church of God, we don't depend on the donations of the world. Because the donations of the world, they've got strings attached to them. The church of God depends on the people that are in the church so that the church can be independent from the influence of the world. Are you still with me? Check who feeds, as they say, he that pays the piper? The one that plays the tune. He that pays for that person is the one that determines the tune. There is an English phrase for that. Are we together? So the first thing, he fed them. And after he fed them, and Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will thou go with me to Ramoth Gilead? And he answered, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. This was a very dangerous statement. Folks, I want to warn you that you must always check your relationships. And when I'm saying relationship, I'm not only speaking about you as an individual. For whatever reason, I cannot be a friend of a polygamist. As much as a polygamist can have the spoken word, he cannot be my friend. Hallelujah. As much as he can preach mighty sermon, he cannot be my friend. Why? It's because in every interaction, there is an influence behind the interaction. And that is why, and people sometimes may say, are we beginning to preach divisive sermons? If they sound so, so be it. But the fact of the matter is that, even with message churches, we are beginning to encounter that not all message churches are very genuine about this message. I'll repeat the statement. Not all message churches are genuine about this message. It may sound divisive, but let it be for what it is. Are we together? You can never hook yourself up with something that blasphemes this message. No matter if one claims to be part of this message, but if what they do scripturally is not in line with this message, you need not to be part of that. Glory be to God. Now, he said, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. My question would be, if Jehoshaphat said, inquire, I pray, at the mouth of the Lord today, before he went to visit Ahab, did he inquire at the mouth of the Lord for that day? You see, sometimes we start certain things, and after they have started, when they give us a problem midway, that's when we begin to say, where is the Lord in this thing? If you never sought the Lord at the beginning of the process, you are very unjust to seek the Lord during the process. Are you still with me? Because if you started without the Lord, you are simply saying, I can do it without you. Then why, when it gives you a problem, you begin to say, where is the Lord in this whole thing? Anything that you do and you do not seek the will of the Lord, it is going to give you problems. Hallelujah. It's like getting married to somebody, but you never sought the will of the Lord. And the moment they give you a problem, that's when you say, oh, where is the Lord in this marriage? Hallelujah. But when he was a knight in a shining armor, you were looking at him, you were saying, goodness, this is a prince. But when he begins to give you a problem, you say, oh God, where is? Believers, we need to learn to seek the will of the Lord before we do anything. Are you still with me? And so, therefore the king of Israel gathered together of prophets 400 men. I think here Ahab, he wanted to show force. He wanted to show unity. He said, let me pull 400 prophets, not one, not two, not 10, not 20, not 30, 400 anointed prophets. And he said, brothers, come and prophesy. And therefore the king of Israel gathered together of prophets 400 men and said unto them, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand. It is always a problem sometime, and it is a problem of leadership always,
people, the reason people become weak leaders is because they always want to be surrounded by people that agree with them. Hallelujah. They are unable to entertain a different view that is being advanced than the view that they originally hold. Are we together? Now, here is for... look at Jehoshaphat. He's becoming jittery. And he says, I pray that we inquire at the word of the Lord today. And now this man summons 400 prophets. And they come and say, go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand. This was the majority. But you and I, we know that God does not deal with the majority. God deals with his weight. That is why if the majority was right, hundreds of thousands and billions of people around the world that worship God in their own way, God was obligated to hear their prayer if he was operating on the majority rule. God does not operate on the majority rule. God operates on his way. If the majority goes this way and the word of God goes that way, God is obligated to follow the way. Glory be to God. Now, 400. They said, no, king, there is no problem. You can go. There's not going to be a problem at all. But again, Jehoshaphat is becoming jittery again. And Jehoshaphat said, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord beside that we might inquire of him? That means Jehoshaphat realized that sometimes it does not take majority, sometimes it takes one man in the hand of God. Then he said, despite the 400, is there no one that is still remaining that we can hear from? And in the end time, in the voices of so many preachers, the bride is saying, is there one more voice that we must hear from? Amen. Glory be to God. And now, therefore the king of Israel gathered together of prophets, or rather, the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Why does he hate him? It's because Brother Bram said the truth will never make you popular, but it will make you honest. Amen. And we're living during a time where people want to be popular rather than to be honest. I can bring it to your doorstep. How many times somebody came to you and asked you about something that you know that it was wrong, but you were afraid to tell them that it is wrong because you did not want to offend them? And it does not only happen with the laity, it happens with the pastors as well. Somebody comes and says, Pastor, I feel that, like for example, I see there's beginning to be restlessness in the message when we quote that scripture that under no circumstances must a believer marry an unbeliever. And people begin to be jittery. We are not going to change what the prophet said in order to suit your lifestyle. Yes, it is unscriptural, under no circumstances. Amen. You unmarried young people, under no circumstances must a believer marry an unbeliever. It doesn't matter how many people it offends. We are not going to change that statement. Amen. And if tonight you got married outside and you brought your wife in, praise be to God that she's a believer. We appreciate the Lord for that. But it does not change the principle that is there, that is put by the prophet messenger, that under no circumstances must a believer not marry an unbeliever. Amen. I still believe that 100%. And you that are not married, if we preach this and you go and do that, I think it's about time if you marry a Catholic, you bring a Catholic priest to marry you. Why? Well, and I've said it many a times, I know it offends people. The moment when you are a brother, you are in the message, you hear us preaching the message, and you go and marry outside, it's a vote of no confidence in what we are preaching. If you cannot trust that this message can produce a wife for you, will you trust that this message can bring a rapture into your body? Oh, for certain things, we've got to say them for what they are. I'm not going to be part of the 400 men that say, oh, you may go, the Lord will bless you. If it is not according to the scripture, the Lord will not bless it. Amen. Despite who does it. Even his brother Madiba's son doing that God is not going to be obligated that, hey, your dad has been preaching for long. It does not work like that under no circumstance. You're going to see it. What made Moses, the great prophet of God, to crumble under the pressure and to say, brothers, let me just give you a letter of divorcement. You can go and divorce your wife and marry others. It was because of the hardness of the hearts of the people. And in the end time, we are going to see it again. Men are still going to look for loopholes. How do I live here? And they are going to get crooked pastors that can endorse that. But I'm glad that there will be the Makai of the hour. Amen. That will not be part of the 400. Amen. Amen. Now the king said unto him, there is yet one man. I know even some of you message believers in your families, you know that is the truth. After they have spoken as a family, must we do this? And some will say, but have we asked so and so? They say, you know their answer is going to be negative. Because why? They know that you don't believe in certain things. Amen. They know that when you come, the first thing you're going to check is what does the Bible say about this? Because, and you must remember, you, especially you Africans, you must remember very well. Sometimes certain family ceremonies is ancestral worship. Oh, I'll repeat the statement, you look shocked. Some of the gatherings that they invite you to, actually it's not just a party, behind, underneath is ancestral worship. And if there is an ancestral element to it, you've got nothing to do with that. And if the family hates you, let them hate you. Because what's happening, if you dare go there and you want to be a gentleman, you're going to bring back a wrong spirit. And later your children get sick. And who do you blame? No, God does not have power. God has got a power. You are just disobedient. Amen. Amen. Now, he said there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he never prophesied good unto me. And I say, we need such prophets. Not the prophets of today, receive your house, receive your money. Nonsense. While I'm living in adultery, you say, receive your house. That's not how it works. The real servant of God will say, repent. Hallelujah. I know believers, if I had come here and preaching and say, receive your house, one of you will be standing on your feet. But we are not on that. It's not going to benefit you in any way. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The rest shall be added unto you. God demands a holy life. God demands a holy life. I'll repeat, God demands a holy life. And you'd rather be poor but be rich spiritually, amen, than to be rich naturally and be poor spiritually. Amen. Glory be to God. For he never prophesied good unto me. I say, this man, he wanted prophecies to be crafted to suit him. This 400 men, all they did was to massage the ego of Ahab. King, whatever you thought, it will prosper. But with this man knew, he knew that this man was going to come and say, if it is not according to the scripture, it's not going to prosper. Amen. Are you here, brothers? Amen. Oh, pastor, what if I win lotto but I support the work of the Lord? It is not going to work. Lottery is gambling. I just touch a sensitive part today. I hope there are no people that are going for lottery. Only children of the devil go for lottery. Only children of the devil go for lottery. Yes. Believers have got nothing to do with lottery. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. I know Brother Beckett once spoke about it somewhere he went, and when he was buying something, he did not see that it was the brother behind in front. And right there, they had already printed the lotto ticket and said, brother, And when he turned around, there was the pastor. The brother almost wished that the earth could open up and swallow him. Because why? He knew that it was wrong. Amen. Sisters, even you, when you wash your washing of your husband, check in the pockets. If you find some lottery ticket, bring it to my office. I will follow it up on it. Amen. I know somebody said, what if he wins 100 million and gives you 10 million? Pastor, what are you going to do? If I take it, I'm not the man of God. Amen. If I take it, I'm not the man of God. Amen. 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 I don't know why I went there, but God wanted me to go there. Amen. Now, but I hate him, for he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. The same is Micah, the son of Amla. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. And the king of Israel called one of his officers and said, fetch quickly Micah, the son of Imla. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, set either of them on his throne and clothed in their robes. And they sat in a void place at the entering in of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. Amen. All the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the king of the son of Shana, had made him horns of iron and said, thou says the Lord, with all these thou shalt push Syria until they be consumed. And all the prophets prophesied, so saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper. For the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the messenger that went to call Micah said unto him, saying, behold, the words of the prophet declare good to the king with one assent. Let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. So it was like in a conference where the first preacher preached a very good sermon. The second preacher, now it was the time for Micah to come and preach. And all the what they had preached was against the word of God. Now he's got to come, and people are saying, hallelujah, glory to God. God is here. God is in our midst. Oh, you know, when people really like a preacher who's compromising, they will say, he's a balanced minister. This brother is so balanced. And now you are coming, and God says, that balanced ministry is an imbalanced ministry. And you've got to declare to the people, goodness, it takes a man with a thick skin. It takes a man with a big bone. It takes a man that is anointed. It takes a man that is courageous, that can stand after 400 people said, it is going to happen, king. And even the brother that was coming and bringing him and holding his back, he was telling him, the sermons were good. The conference is on fire. Don't spoil it with what William Marion Branham said. Go according to the inspiration of the convention. You know what I'm talking about. Don't upset the people. Oh, the conference is at this level. Don't bring it down. And Micah said, as the Lord liveth, even what my God says, that I will speak. Amen. Brother, I'm not going to speak what they spoke. I'm not going to speak what you say I must speak. I'm not going to speak what the king wants to hear. There is a king of kings. Yes. I want to hear what he has to say. What he says, I will deliver it. Amen. Oh, we need such men in the end time. Yes. And when he was come to the king, and the king said unto him, Micah, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? He said, go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. This is Micah speaking. Brother Bram said, you must know when a man speaks. You must know when the devil speaks. You must know when God speaks. We call it discernment. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? That someone was too good for him until he said, this is too good to be true to come from Micah. Then he said, this now the Lord speaking. Then he said, I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return therefore every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me, but evil? Again he said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one spake saying after this manner, another saying after that manner. Then there came out a spirit, stood before the Lord, and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Check. 400 men were anointed by a lying spirit. Today, many preachers are anointed by a lying spirit. They say, come as you are and remain as you are. You are on your way to heaven. They are lying to you. I say they are lying to you. The real gospel is say, repent or perish. And said, thou shalt entice him. Remember, the wrong spirit was not coming from the Lord. The wrong spirit was permitted by the Lord. Why? If you are out of God's will, God will permit spirit to torment you, to bring you back to your position. But it doesn't mean those spirits are of God. Are you still with me? And therefore, behold, the Lord saith, putting a lying spirit in the mouth of this thy prophet, and the Lord hath spoken evil against thee. Then Zedekiah, the son of Shenana, came near and smote Micah upon the cheek. This was in the royal place. This man is now ruining the conference. Hello, sisters. Preachers had preached that as long as you look beautiful in that tight dress, no problem. But Micah comes says, you need to repent on that, until it offended other men and they smote him on the face. And said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micah said, behold, thou shalt see on that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. Then the king of Israel said, take ye Micah and carry him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thou says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I return in peace. Hear me out. There is a threefold approach when Satan attacks a believer. The first fold is when he comes in your personal life, where he disrupts things. He can cause marital problem, financial problem. He can cause a lot of things that do with your person, you as a person, maybe your health. Are we together? If you still worship God and say, God be praised, the next thing that the devil does is to go where you worship, and he attacks the pulpit where the word is being preached. And there is many ways that the devil can attack the pulpit. He might make the pastor to say something until you get offended and say, I'm done going to church. And if maybe in church he happens, maybe something is said and it offends you, but you're still God. You are still God. I may not understand, but you will reveal it to me. The next thing that the devil does, he brings the government against you. Isn't what is going to happen? He has attacked all of you in your individual capacity. He has now attacked the pulpit through funny doctrines. If you are still standing, he needs to bring the government against you. Are you still with me? Now, the king of Israel, then he said, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I return in peace. And Micah said, if thou certainly return in peace, then hath not the Lord spoken by me. He said, hearken all ye people. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. Now here's a question. Jehoshaphat was a righteous man. God anointed a preacher or a prophet by the name of Micah to warn him. But after he had warned him, he still went with Ahab. My question is, why does this righteous man have to do with unrighteous men? And I'm tempted to say, he sold his birthright right here. Because the moment you go against the word of God, you sell your birthright. And I'm saying, as individuals, we need to inspect our relations. We need to inspect our interactions. And I'm going to say it for what it is. There are many wrong spirits that have gone into message families that came through wrong relatives. I'll repeat. I've got a young brother who has been struggling with drug addiction. And I'll tell you a background of how he came about to be linked to that. A brother, there was a young man that was at a boarding school not far from where we stay. Then this young boy had been expelled from the school. Now, because he was a boarder, he did not have an accommodation. Now, the brothers came to my house and said, we've got this young man, he's expelled from the school for this behavior, but there is nowhere else where we could take this boy. Won't you accommodate this boy for us? I mean, these were message believers, these were brothers, these were elders. Then we said, you know how when you impress elders, you think you are impressing God. Then we say, by all means, let him come. He came and stayed with us. Within a month, they once came back from school and they were drunk. Ever since that time until this day, we have struggled with that demon. How did that demon come in? We wanted to be good Samaritans. Believers, hear me out. It doesn't mean that if somebody comes to the same church as you come, you still need to inspect the spirit that drives them. If you become a gentleman about it, you will lose your children. I've said it. I'm saying it, and you must hear me and hear me very well. I'm saying even in this church, if somebody was to come and say, can I come and stay in your house? If you know that you are uncomfortable, you must say no. It does not mean that you've got the wrong spirit. You owe it and you are obligated to protect your family. I just said something there. I know it might have rattled the nest, but I'm sharing you with you a personal experience. Let me just get through a few quotations of the prophet, then we'll be done. Brother Bram says, in the message, The Invention of the United States, paragraph 52, and Ahab had done this wickedness. He went on, God blessing the people for many years, and finally Jehoshaphat was king over Judah, while Ahab was king over Israel. And Jehoshaphat was a righteous man. He was the son of Asa. Asa was a righteous man. And he tore down all the altars of idols, built the altars of Jehovah, and they were having revival as it was up in Judah. Then after a while, Jehoshaphat or Ahab's brother sent up, and he found out another piece of land in Syria. Then he thought it belonged to him, that he thought he would go and get. So he asked this Jehoshaphat if he would come and make an alliance with him. And cause there is a greater danger now. When they seen this great king Ahab down there, they seen this great one up here, Jehoshaphat. One of them a lukewarm, the other a spirit-filled man. Even in church, there are times where you'll find a lukewarm member and you'll find a spirit-filled member right in the same church. Watch how you make your alliance. This is what the prophet says. Watch how you make your alliance. Do you know that certain alliances, even friendships that you get into, they make you even fear God even more? And some of the friendship, they make you numb towards the fear of the Lord. Amen. I'm not talking out there. I'm talking right in the camp of the message of the hour. Young ones today are backsliding right in the message, and the influence is not coming out in the school. It's coming right in the church. I said it. Watch what you are doing. How you yoke yourself up with unbelievers. Keep yourself clean, especially in the day that we are living in. Hallelujah. In the message, what does thou hear? Brother Branham says, you can't buy friendship with money. Friendship is a gift of God. And my question would be tonight, the friends that you are mingling with, are they a gift from God, or is it for convenience in your life? If it is an unholy alliance, they are going to derail you on your Christian walk. And actually, I have said it many a times in this church, when you are a message believer, people that come closer in your inner circle, they must deem it to be a privilege. Because you are a son and a daughter of God. Not everyone must ever point to you and say, that's my friend. If they are your friend, you must check, do they qualify to be your friend? Amen. Some people don't qualify to be a friend of a child of the Most High God. If he curses, he's not your friend. Your friend, if he respects your faith, he will never curse. And today, I've realized, and this is what irritated me in corporate sector. You have meetings in boardroom, and you know, people like Casey, they use words that are really demoralizing you and say, how can a manager say something like that? Let me tell you something. If you cannot accommodate somebody that can smoke in your presence, maybe in a lift, and you tell them not to smoke in your presence, just develop the backbone to tell your manager, why can't you stop cursing in the meetings? I know you'll say, because you're afraid to be fired. Amen. Brother Bram says, now I'm working towards closing. In the message, God keeps his words. Paragraph 36, he says, wash your associates. Keep your company clean. Amen. Folks, young people, keep your company clean. I've been a young person in the message. I think one of the most, if there is one thing that almost derailed me away from the message, it was friends. Because they really come and really warm up to you and really pretend like they respect what you believe. And from time to time, they drop certain things in your life that make you to be insensitive to the very thing that you claim to believe. Friends. Even these days, not only young ones that have got a problem with friends, even married men and married women have got a problem with friends. Amen. 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 And if you want to tell me where you are going, or if you want me to tell you where you are going, show me your friends, I will tell you where you are going. Amen. Are you here, sisters? Amen. A woman that hangs around with women who are divorced, in no time, she follows suit. A man that befriends men that run around with women, in no time, they run around with women. Amen. Amen. Don't go, this is you, young people. Watch your associates. Keep your company clean. Don't go in there pull room with that boy just because you think you can win him to Christ. We can't find you in a bar lunch and you say, oh, I'm trying to win this brother to Christ. There's a quotation. You can't win him to Christ. You can't win him to Christ in the church or out at your own home or sitting in your car. You will never do it in the pool room. Yes, pool room is more like where you play pool room where they are drinking and smoking. I tell you, you are on the devil's ground. Yes. Brothers, you that want to say I will go and testify in a bar lounge, you are on the devil's ground. It will never work. You, by walking in, it's an indictment on your testimony. Are you reading with me there? Stay away from it. Separate yourself. God said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith God. Then I will receive you. You cannot cleave unto unbelievers and expect to be received by God. It does not work in that way. In the message, where has thy strength gone? Samson, paragraph 6, he said, you can always remember that when you are in bad company, you are out of the will of the Lord. I'll repeat the statement. You can never be in the will of the Lord and be in bad company at the same time. When you are in bad company, you are out of the will of the Lord. But when you are in good company, you are in the will of the Lord. And how do you know that something is of bad company? It's when it begins to eat into your prayer life. Amen. Question and answers. Paragraph 266. This is the last quotation before I release you. So many of you people have made sacrifices. Have we made sacrifices tonight? You have both given up your boyfriends and girlfriends. You have given up homes and so forth. And many of you has had to come out from among associates and friends and things and all friends that you have known a long time to walk in the way of the Lord. Has it happened to people this year, this evening? Brother, I commend you for that. I think that's wonderful to do that. Now, because that you have seen the gospel light, it is the truth. You will walk in that light. And whatever you do, children, whatever you do, wherever you go, shun the appearance of evil and walk after Christ. As long as you live, stay right on that road. Don't move from it. It will certainly pay off good. It's eternal life. But what do you do? Check your associates. The Bible says, iron sharpens iron. And the Bible says, he that keep company of fools, what's happening? He shall face destruction. But he that is wise, he that keeps company of wise men shall be wise. Are we together? It depends. Check your alliance. And even as the church of the living God, I want to tell you, there is no church that is our standard. There is no group that is our standard. The weight is our standard. And young people, I've preached it many a times in this church, and I'm beginning to see, I was telling other people these days, I see that ZCC women are becoming very daring. They are beginning to post their pictures on social media, and they are showing the world modesty. And as some would say, but they are putting a badge. I say, goodness, it is amazing that those that put a badge are beginning to show those that are not putting a badge a shame when it comes to the matters of modesty. Things that your young ones are posting on social media and say modesty is not modesty. Modesty can never show armpit. Modesty can never show an underwear line. I'm preaching here, folks. That's not modesty. That is of the devil. And you need to tell your children to repent from such. Why? Because we are not going to have a holy alliance with the world. And what I've come to learn is that most of young ones in the message are beginning to secretly to go to denominations, to attend their concert, to check how they do things, and they want to emulate that in message cycles. Let me tell you something, it will never work. Amen. I'll repeat the statement, it will never work. We will never dress like them. We will never preach like them. We will never live like them. Why? Because we've got an alliance with the Holy God. And we've got an alliance with the Holy God. We can never be linked to an unholy alliance. And if you're in an unholy alliance, get out of it tonight. Before it is too late, because it will cost you your soul. God bless you richly as we stand. in moments like this. Amen. Let's not forget, we've got a communion service on Sunday. Communion service is compulsory for believers. God said to do this in remembrance of me. So we'll have a communion double service on Sunday. Amen. Brother Philip Andre will come and wrap up in prayer for us. Yes.
Eternal Father, we thank you, Lord, once again, Lord, that we can be in your presence, oh Lord God.
Yes.
We know, Lord, that you are getting your bride ready, oh Lord. As the world goes into utter darkness, oh Lord God, you are preparing a bride, Lord, to be like you, oh Lord, to be more and more like you, oh Lord. And oh Lord God, as the prophet has told us, Lord, when it rains, it doesn't take it easy to rain. It takes thunder. It takes lightning.
Yes.
It takes terrible sounds, but then that blessing falls onto the world, oh Lord God. And oh Lord God, we've come into the house of correction, Lord, to hear from you, oh Lord. We don't need, Lord, easy talk, Lord, and God loves us and stuff like that, Lord. But we need to be chastised, oh Lord, to straighten ourselves up, Lord, and to hear from you and to realize, Lord, that you are on your way, Lord. Just like the prophet talks about that lady, Lord, that She was living with her cousins, oh Lord God. And she said, I'm going to come fetch you next year. And oh Lord, how she prepared herself, Lord God.
Yes.
She watched how she dressed. She watched how she was,
exactly.
Even though she was mocked bitterly, Lord. But yet she knew that you were, yes, you were going to come and fetch her, Lord God. Oh Lord, we're so grateful for what you've done in our lives, oh Lord. We're thankful, Lord, just as people are turning away from this message, oh Lord. How much more must we just dig our lives, our feet, our roots deeper into this message, oh Lord God. Because this is the end time message,
yes,
oh Lord. Lord, Malachi 4 has spoken, oh Lord God. We can't get away from it, oh Lord. And we're so thankful that you have put us in this message, oh Lord. What more can we do, Lord? Because you have put that desire to serve you, Lord. And all we've got to do is follow you, Lord, and
yes,
believe you, oh Lord God. We're thankful for this night, oh Lord. May we just add year to what we've heard tonight, Lord. May we not go out, Lord, and be...
have a problem, Lord, but let us just go out and just say, Lord, unto thee
I hand you out, Lord.
Yes.
As Mary said, Lord, do it unto me, Lord. Help us, Lord, Father. Help us further, Lord, and we thank you for our minister, Lord. You've spoken through him again, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we just pray that we may stay in prayer, Lord God. Help us, Lord, as we reach that pinpoint, Lord, to go through, Lord. Bless my brother, Lord. Help him and his family, Lord.
Let it be
Help
so.
Every one of us that are here. And those that couldn't make it, Lord, may you bless them abundantly as well, Lord. We ask for your blessing now further. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you richly till we see you on Sunday. Don't forget, it's 2 services. We are going to have our communion on Sunday. Amen. Can give us a song, maybe let's just say Jehovah Mighty in Battle. Amen.
Jehovah, your name.
Jehovah. Mighty warrior. Jehovah is your name.